Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your next order. Hello, baseball fan.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, which is being dropped on the 10th day of May, 2021, we are officially in mid-May. We're going to talk about a wild, fun, exciting, and zoologically confusing weekend of baseball. This show is available on the free and easy to use Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And when you're staying at home debating about the identity of a raccoon or a rat, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pods. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Well, as I like to do on Monday, I like to break down the weekend day for day. Maybe you missed a day. Maybe you forgot something. I'm recording this part of it on Saturday morning, and I can already tell you there's enough material to fill up an entire podcast based upon what happened on Friday night. Let me tell you how weird Friday night was in baseball. We had a no-hitter. We got damn close to a second no-hitter. We had a wild walk-off victory in New York. We saw the defending world champions do a faceplant down the street. And the main discussion on Twitter seems to be whether or not someone saw a rat or a raccoon. That's weird that I could open the podcast with those words in that order and have it make complete sense. But evidently, that's where we are as a civilization. So first things first, I'm going to tip my hat to Wade Miley. Wade Miley. This shows you how weird a no-hitter is. And sometimes how, I don't like to use the term random because random implies that there's no sense of events that led up to something, but it's just chance. It's really chance that a pitcher like Wade Miley, who is, you know, this is an 11th year in the major leagues, had a couple of decent seasons, was an all-star one season, has had some absolutely dreadful years as well, threw only the second complete game shutout of his career. His first one was a member of the Mariners back in 2016. And he has a no-hitter to his name as a member of the Cincinnati Reds. Greg Maddux never threw a no-hitter. Roger Clemens never threw a no-hitter. Pedro Martinez threw a nine-inning perfect game, but the Expos didn't score from him. He lost a no-hitter in the 10th. So I'm not going to put Pedro on that pile, but so many great pitchers who never threw a no-hitter. And Wade Miley has joined Bud Smith and Edwin Jackson as people who have thrown no-hitters. You know, that there's Philip Humber has a perfect game. They're the people who throw a no-hitter, it's in many ways, it's chance. Someone made a diving catch at one point. A dribbler becomes an infield hit, and there's your no-hitter. And that's one of the things that makes no-hitters fun. Remember fun? I'm going to get to fun in a second, because apparently fun is bad for baseball. But it's such a strange, fluky, statistical weirdness that happens when someone goes nine and doesn't allow a hit, that it becomes fun when you get to the end. Said, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And it makes people who would not normally tune in to a Reds-Indians game get transfixed by it. The same way that when you saw the game between the Orioles and the Mariners the other day and Means was throwing a no-hitter, yeah, everyone tuned in to see the Orioles and the Mariners because they want to witness that, because they're fun. Can they thread the needle? And it doesn't mean it's the most dominant performance. I mentioned the Edwin Jackson no-hitter, let up a bunch of walks and threw a ton of pitches. you could argue is only an okay game, but can he run the gauntlet? The most dominant game I ever saw in my life was a game where Pedro Martinez dominated the Yankees. That wasn't even a complete game shutout. He allowed a home run to Chili Davis, but he absolutely flummoxed the rest of the lineup. So it isn't about this is the most dominant game. It's can you run this gauntlet? Can you thread this needle? Can you do it? Can you shoot the moon while playing hearts? And when someone does it, it's wild. It's wonderful. And because it isn't always the dominant pitchers, because Kent Merker has a no-hitter for the Braves, but Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tom Glavin don't, it doesn't have to be the ace. Hideo Nomo has a no-hitter for the Red Sox. That randomness is one of the things that makes baseball wonderful. You can pick up the paper and go, I wonder who's going to do it. I wonder who's going to do it today. And most of the time, it won't happen. We go entire years where no one throws one. And then you might have a flurry of no-hitters like we had this year or like you had in 1990. That year, you're having some people you expected to throw a no-hitter. Dave Steeb finally got his. Dave Stewart was a Cy Young contender. But you also had Fernando Valenzuela, who was basically washed up at that point. But he reached down deep and threw a no-hitter one night. And what a glorious thing that is. And yet, I see some people on Twitter complaining about it, complaining that it happens too often. You know, Sean Manaea, who threw a no-hitter in 2018 against the Red Sox, nearly threw one last night. He took a no-hitter into the eighth. He would have joined the likes of, you know, Koufax with multiple no-hitters, but so does Mark Burley and Homer Bailey and Tim Lincecum all have multiple no-hitters as well. People complain like, oh, it happens too often now. I've read more than one tweet that said that they now happen too often. They're not as special. And that, to me, I just throw my hands up in the air. Like, I don't even know how to respond to that. Because there are some people who are complaining that because no-hitters happen too often, they're not as special. I guarantee you, these are the same people when I bring up the fact that I don't want a universal DH because when a pitcher does get a big hit, you got a pitcher hit a big home run, you got a pitcher get a key hit in a clutch situation, I say the place usually goes crazy, and the fans really love it. When that happens, it's such a wonderful, surprising moment. And the response I hear from the universal DH people is, it doesn't happen enough to warrant not having a DH. It happens so seldom, it doesn't warrant having it. If there's a Venn diagram, anyone who makes that complaint, that the pitcher's getting the big hit, is not a frequent enough event to be exciting, and at the same time say no hitters happen too frequently to be exciting, I just say you don't like fun. And I'll just wave my arms and dismiss you, because that's a bunch of lunacy. Now, I mentioned that Sean Manaea took a no-hitter into the eighth, and they wound up losing that no-hitter and actually tying the game, but the A's walked it off, and the A's remain in first place and are continuing. I mean, they wound up beating Tampa Bay, a very good team that was on a roll. And the A's wound up with that victory become a 20-win team, where they joined the Red Sox, who are now also a 20-win team after their win over the Baltimore Orioles. The White Sox won. They are now in first place by themselves, leapfrogging the Indians, who are no hit, and leapfrogging the Royals. And in the National League East, the Phillies won again. The Phillies are now on an absolute roll. They've won their last five games and are in first place all by themselves. The Milwaukee Brewers are falling like a rock. They're on a six-game losing streak, and they've lost seven of their last 10, and they're in danger of being passed by the Cubs, who are not even trying to win. Speaking about dropping like a rock, the defending World Series champs, the Dodgers, have lost eight of their last 10. They're now only one game over 500, and they got their lunch handed to them in a game against the Angels last night down the street on the five. And with the Giants win over the Padres, the Giants now are up two games in the loss column. And with a win, they could be a 20-win team. It's guaranteed to be a first-place team on Mother's Day. All right, let's get to the weird big story. The Mets won. And the Mets are now one game out of first. And they won in a game where Francisco Lindor made a dazzling defensive play, hit a game-tying home run to break a big slump, and then got a walk-off hit in the 10th inning. And the Mets wound up winning the game against the Diamondbacks, who came in pretty hot and are keeping pace with the Philadelphia Phillies as they ride a three-game winning streak and are within striking distance of being tied for first place. Is that what people are talking about? No, of course not. Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? What everyone's talking about is the fact that there was a, was it a brouhaha? Is that what's happening? McNeil and Lindor had a kerfuffle, had a fight or something like that. There was a big brawl in the tunnel after the, during the seventh inning stretch. You know that because the, when you see the clip of the teammates running down the tunnel, you hear the fans singing, "Take me out to the ball game." And afterwards, when asked about what had happened, Lindor said, "Oh, he thought he saw a rat." And McNeil said, "No, it was a raccoon." And they were arguing over that. It was a zoological identification debate that was happening. McNeil kind of laughed it off. Obviously, that's not what happened. Obviously, they created a cover story of, was it a raccoon or was it a rat? And now we're talking team raccoon or team rat, like we're watching freaking Twilight. And that's what people are talking about. Now, as my cousin Dave, who's a rabid Mets fan, texted me this morning, he said, "We're officially New York baseball teams if guys are throwing punches in the dugout tunnel." Yeah, maybe Met fans should be happy that there's some fire on the team. Maybe Met fans should be happy that Lindor may have had his welcome to New York moment last night. Maybe Met fans should just be happy their team won and that the Atlanta Braves are one of the teams that are falling like a rock right now and that the National League East is winnable. Maybe. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. I don't know. But the fact we're living in a world where the talk after a dramatic walk-off victory by the Mets is a discussion of zoological identity shows that things are weird. Things are weird. And this is just Friday. All right, let's talk a little bit about rockauto.com. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always has the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, does not require membership or account login. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even a new carpet. Whether it's your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Just write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need are at rockauto.com. And let's talk a little bit about Bet Online, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball's in full swing. You can track all the action on Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including baseball, basketball, the NHL, UFC, MMA. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your last chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline is your online sportsbook expert. Promo code LOCKEDON. All right, so the Saturday games are over, and I don't know what the hell is going on with the Dodgers. I don't know if that's going to get us to an explicit rating of this podcast, but there's nothing else to say about that. They went and they played the Angels after, you know, a poor showing of it on Friday. And, you know, remember Friday, the Dodgers, who have been in a massive slump, and the defending World Series champions are only a game above 500. They got whumped by the Angels. And so, okay, one more game going on between the Angels and Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw taking the mound against Bundy. And the Dodgers scored 8 runs in the fourth, 5 runs in the fifth. And after that, Dave Roberts said, hey, look at Clayton Kershaw. We are up 13-0. I'm going to pull you. I'm going to pull you right now. There's no need to have you keep going out there. You have a bunch of bullets left in your holster there. 71 pitches. Thanks for the memories. And you got it. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that decision. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that decision. They said, like, this is a blowout game. I'm going to get some other pitchers a chance to sort of get some work in. There you go. We got 13 runs. Well, apparently, let me put it this way. They were up 13-0 after 5 innings, and it turned into a save situation because the Angels, who, mind you, pulled Mike Trout at one point and said, do you want Mike? We're getting blown out. Just go sit in the whirlpool. Take the rest of the night off. They're waving the white flag. And of course, I've been a proponent for, you know, teams to say, hey, look, if we're just getting blown out, we could wave the white flag at one point. And this is, of course, the living argument against that, because the Angels stormed back and made it a ball game. The final score was 14-11, and the Dodgers wound up winning. Hooray, I guess. I mean, this is when you're have to act in a binary way, that the Dodgers needed to win in the worst way, and that's exactly how they won, in the absolute worst way. They're still not playing particularly well. They've, even with this win, they've dropped 7 of their last 10 games, and they are 2.5 games behind San Francisco. San Francisco became a 20-win team before Mother's Day, and they, you know, the Giants beat San Diego. And the final score of that one was, it was not even that great of a game. You know, the Giants wound up with a 7-1 victory. Gausman, who's been a wonderful pickup, smacked around Musgrove, who did not throw a no-hitter. And, you know, it was 4-1 after 5, but turned into a 7-1 blowout. And so the Padres are slipping, and the Giants remain in first place. This is a very weird, weird day of baseball. The best performance you could make an argument from these Saturday games in baseball was Max Scherzer, who dominated the Yankees, 14 strikeouts, pitched into the eighth inning. But the Nationals bullpen wet the bed. They let up a game-tying run in the ninth and then played the runner on second game. You know, Nats took a lead in the 10th. Yankees came back. Tied in the 10th, Yankees wound up winning as Rainey was awful out of the bullpen. And the Yankees got a much-needed win because they were about to fall under 500. But, you know, a great performance by Max Scherzer was wasted, which stinks if you're a Nationals fan, because they couldn't take advantage of the fact that the Phillies and their bullpen made you long for the stability of Mitch Williams. Now, with 2 outs and 2 strikes in the ninth inning, the Braves got a walk, and then Pablo Sandoval hit a home run, which is more home runs than he hit for the 2016 Red Sox, mind you. The Braves wound up tying the game against Philadelphia in the ninth, tied the game in the 11th, and then the Phillies scored 3 runs in the 12th inning, and then the Braves loaded the bases, got a bases clearing double, and wound up winning the game in 12 innings. And the Braves, who had been spiraling, got a key win against Philadelphia. And why was that a key win? Because of that and the Rat Squirrel Brigade in Flushing, Queens, wound up winning the game. All the hand-wringing over the, you know, over what happened with McNeil and Lindor and the Rat and the Raccoon, the Mets won again. And this was a game where it wound up turning into a bullpen game as Hunter pitched the first 2 innings. Lucchesi pitched well. It was actually a team no-hitter going into the 6th inning. But the Mets are now tied for first place with all the turmoil, with all the slumping by Lindor, with a fight in the clubhouse, with no one being able to score for DeGrom, DeGrom missing a couple of starts. After all of that, you know, granted they played fewer games than some of the other teams, but with all of that, the Mets are in a virtual tie for first place and a four-game winning streak. It's just surreal. It is bizarre. It is indescribable. Meanwhile, the Cardinals remain in first place. Paul Goldschmidt had a big, huge day, going 3-for-5 with 3 runs batted in. And the Red Sox won again. Xander Bogaerts was magnificent, going 3-for-4 with a home run, 2 runs batted in. And they are now they remain 3 games ahead of Toronto, 3.5 games ahead of the Yankees. Now, let's talk about a tale of two cities here. Now, Oakland, remember how awful Oakland was at the beginning of the year? I know I mentioned that a couple of times, but the A's are now on a 20-7 run. 20-7. And they wound up winning against Tampa. Remember, the defending American League champions, they doubled them up. Montez got the win. Seth Brown, the hero of the other day, got a 2-run home run. And Austin Allen got a home run. And Glasnow pitched well, but the A's wound up pouring on, especially the seventh and eighth innings, and won that game 6-3. The A's are on fire right now. And on the total opposite end of the spectrum is the Kansas City Royals. Now, after the games on May 1st, the Royals were 16-9. Going into May 2nd, that was the best record in baseball, 16-9. They've played 7 games since then and have lost all 7, and they've dropped to an even 500, and they are now in third place in the American League Central. And yesterday was just ugly because the White Sox scored 8 runs before the Royals even came to bat. It was 8-8 by the time people were still sitting down in their seats. And they had, by the second inning, the Royals were on their third pitcher. Now, by the end, the final score was 9-1, and both Chicago and Kansas City were basically on cruise control the rest of the way. And, you know, let's give a little credit to, you know, the fact that the Chris Bubek, I think that's how you pronounce his name, left-handed pitcher, came out and pitched 5 2/3 innings of shutout ball for the Royals, basically giving them some depth in the middle of the game. But the White Sox are in first place despite having a senile manager who doesn't know how anything works. The Royals have fallen from first place and people thinking, hey, is it 2015? To no. No, it is not. Now, I do think the Royals still have some talent, and I said at the beginning of the year, I think they're going to be a wildcard contender. And we also see wild fluctuations of this team's hot, that team's hot, this team's not, this team's not. But the fact of the matter is the White Sox were a lot of people's picks, including mine, and now here they are in first place, and the Royals have fallen back to earth where they are now a 500 team. All the great stories and everything like that, if they lose tomorrow, they'll go into mid-May as a team with a losing record. So we're going to see what happens. A lot of games are starting relatively early tomorrow, so we're going to see what happens. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Mother's Day Built Bars. And Mom, I hope you got the gigantic wooden crate for Mother's Day that I got you, where I got you all 9 delicious flavors of Built Bar, Mom. You've got your coconut almond, your cherry, your raspberry, your mint brown, your peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, and apparently they're coming out with a strawberry one, which I can't wait to try. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs, and some have more protein. Some have even fewer calories. Mom, I hope you love them, and I hope you love the raspberry and the mint brownie. But, Mom, save me one of the peanut butter brownies, because I know you don't like peanut butter, Ma. So Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Enjoy it, Mom. Those of you who think there are too many no-hitters, there were no no-hitters on Sunday, so you can all relax a little bit. The New York Mets completed their sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and couple that with the fact that the Braves just thumped the Phillies right out of the gate. It was 4-1 after the first, and the rest of the game just basically ground to a halt. It was 6-1, but it really didn't feel that close. That means the Mets are on a 5-game winning streak. And as we enter mid-May, the Mets are in first place all by themselves. And the mood in Mets land seems to be abject misery. The fight and the bullpen being a little wonky. And oh yeah, Jacob DeGrom, who was pitching great through 5 innings, had to leave for an injury. So I've never seen this before. A team storm into first place with walk-off wins, dramatic victories, huge home runs. And as they look up, team in first place, it's no longer April. We're in mid-May. And Mets fans are all Eeyore at this point. It's a strange world we're living in. It's also a strange world that the team with the best record in baseball right now are the Red Sox. Go figure that. They swept the Orioles, and hey, that's what you're supposed to do if you want to win, if you want to pull off a terrific year. And it was Rafael Devers was kind of like, hey, no one, what? He had an exact quote that it was the writers who were looking down on the Red Sox hopes, and that they completely believe themselves. And yeah, I guess that's right. You know, I know I didn't have much faith in them. And Devers was asked if he was surprised that the Red Sox had the best record. And he said, not at all. We believe in each other. We believe in each other as a team. It's you guys, you reporters, that don't believe in us. But in this clubhouse, this team, we believe in each other. And we know we're a good team. And of course, every team in first place says stuff like that. Every place in first place says we're a tight-knit group. Every team in first place says it's just a lot of fun to be here. We're a special team. Nobody believed in us. Blah, 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 blah. Red Sox are in first. What are you going to do? They swept the Orioles as they were supposed to. Hey, give credit to the Yankees, too. You know, they wound up winning the last couple of games against the Nationals, and they are now percentage points, actually 1 percentage point ahead of Tampa Bay. Give Tampa Bay credit. They beat the A's. The A's were on a nice little winning streak, and they lost, but they're still in first place. And give the White Sox a lot of credit because, yeah, they have Tony La Russa, who is decaying at the managerial position, but they're in a 3-game winning streak, and they just swept the Kansas City Royals. That's right. The Royals, who entered May with the best record in baseball, have entered mid-May a sub-500 team. Give credit to the St. Louis Cardinals, who are on a big winning streak and are now in first place all by their lonesome. And give credit to the Padres, who absolutely clubbed Cueto and the Giants today and are now in second place on their own, as the Dodgers lost against to the Angels. So we're looking at mid-May, and the reason I keep saying that is I honestly believe the end of May, which is Memorial Day, is really the first checkpoint of the season. It's the first point where you say, this is who we are, and this is what we can be. We've put a third of the season in the bank, and what are we looking at? What are we looking at here? And what we're looking at is one weird weekend of baseball. Now, coming up today, the Reds and the Pirates are playing. Is that going to amount to anything? For that to be a really exciting series, you'd have to get a time machine back to 1990. The Red Sox have another game against the Orioles. It's Perez and Lopez there. The Angels want to make up some ground in the West, and they're taking on the Astros. Padres didn't fare too well except for today in San Francisco. They're taking on the Rockies, which would be a couple of wins for them. The Marlins, who are three games under 500 but still hanging around, are going to be playing the Diamondbacks, who had a rough time of it. And the Giants, still in first place, are taking on the Rangers, who very oddly are at an even 500. And the other day, I had to sit and actively concentrate to remember who the manager of the Rangers was. And I believe it's Chris Woodward. I don't think that sentence was grammatically correct, but it's been a long weekend. So go to the free and easy to use Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts and tell me what team you're on. Are you on Team Rat or are you on Team Squirrel? And if you're a Met fan, man, you deserve a hug. You had a tough weekend considering your team just swept their way into first place. This has been Locked On MLB for the 10th day of May, 2021. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.